party?
I think you know I'm always excited. You know, end of the month when we hear one another speak and teach. I always look forward to that. I'm always excited about that, and because I always walk out filled, rejuvenated, and there's nothing that's scary now. Sister spiritual sister, because we just have a special will. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about serving. Share it with the teacher in class. And I'm really excited now to see that the people learn about serving and Sherry's more vulnerable to serving. Even when she's tired, she's constantly giving. I've tried to hint in different ways to say, slow down. You can all have somebody else can, but that's not. But she's always looking for ways to serve. And there's no better person to teach about serving, about giving, and that aspect about Christ and Sherry. So I'm really excited about that tonight. And really, when you think about it, Jesus was so confounded to the religious people at his time. When he walked the streets in the different villages, and he walked the desert and climbed the mountains, he spoke about lordship, about Christianity. It was such a different message. The people were so confounded about it. In fact, one of the most confounding things about Jesus that he touched with that touch. And he gave us an example of serving. Probably for me, when I was thinking about that aspect about him today, you think about Jesus sweeping, cleaning the dirt of the feet of the men who walk. And he does the same for us. We clean our dirt. And it helps. It adds to the world. I would say, needs for the show. I saw it. Just use the power. Gives you that courage to speak up and be unashamed. And then after that, Sherry's going to be a little bit more. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be a little bit more. so many different things. So, I'm really excited about it. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, humbled by your humility, your stooping down. Reach out to us, Father, in our darkness, and save us, Father. Your willingness to touch us when others are here to touch us, when others refrain and shy away from helping, Father, but you. So we're sitting in our darkness. Because of your love and your mercy, you reached out and saved us and forgave us of our sins and have faith in us that we can. I thank you for that faith that you have in us that we can be victorious. I thank you for your example here on earth that you walked on earth, just how you serve and met the needs of others and calling us to be like you. Help us, Father, have that heart and that humility to communicate you, Father. I pray that we'll enjoy serving one another because of this. No better time to show you that we serve one another and we give ourselves. So be with us, Father, for so many people. Cherry, teaching us about you and your heart. Thank you for life and your life. Thank you for your chamber and sharing with us. See our ministry and finish. Use them in a powerful way to fill them up with the Holy Spirit. Inspire us, Father. Be with us, Father, for Jesus' name.
Hello, ladies. How you doing? Are you fine? Well, I'm standing here. I have to be on the phone. Thank God. I kept going to be. Oh. 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, I had a really bad accident. And I was in Ohio. Now I'm here. And I was angry at God, and but I had to move on, and I was wrong again, I'm going to say it. And one has to say, I never prayed to God again. And so I decided to go to counseling, because the last few people that God had been born was the one young lady. She was a cousin. She hurt so much. She had so much misery that she was willing to so that she wouldn't feel anything. And I said, so that's when I decided to go into counseling, psychology, and counseling. And I want to tell you a little bit about me. I'll go back a little bit. I remember I was on the corner hanging out with my girlfriend. No one in my family. And I went out to the public, and I felt that emotion. And so I said to myself, ooh, I like it. And then around the age, around 20, I felt that emotion as a teenager. I hated my parents' heart. I was married by then, had two children, and that was one of the things that I always prayed. I always hoped that I was prayed together to be family. And that was one of the things that made me stop. And I remember someone saying, you know, God is powerful. Because that was one of the pains I faced. I mean, I prayed. One day I got on my knees. I said it. I think about four times in a row, take this pain. And when he took it away, I had read the Bible around the age of 19, and I knew there were things that would be. I didn't stop, but I did. But after that, I literally stopped after that. I stopped smoking. Stopped doing drugs. I kind of stopped. I didn't really like drugs. That wasn't my thing. Drinking wasn't my thing. And so what I learned was God is the one who heals. You know? And that's why we're having this CR, because everybody can't stop through a few prayers. Some people need just a little bit more of that. And just going through the classes that I have for the last 3 years, God has really changed my heart. And I want to help. I want to be there. I want to hear your story. But I want to help you. Awesome. And so we're going to be leading. I'm not leading on my own. B is my partner. And we're going to lead together, and we're going to start the CR. What I wanted to do was just name some that, we know alcohol, you know, prescription drugs, street drugs, cigarettes, food, gambling, shopping. My husband told me to go shopping. I almost forgot. Maybe, you know, I might have to check myself out on that one. Sexual addiction. And one of the scriptures I wanted to share with you is 2 Peter 2:19. It says, "And man is a slave to whatever his master has mastered him." Satan's plan is that addiction will be the choice that you will take over God. And this is what we cannot say when. We want to be with God. But we know that sometimes some people can't be on their own. One of the things that I really looked at when I was looking at some statistics, I'm only going to do a few, but, you know, we always think about the young. I started young, and most of the statistics start from the age of 20. People are getting high and getting drunk and drunk. But here, the individual 50 to 59 years old, their rate of cash drugs has went up from 2.7% to 5.8%. 2010. And what's happening is it starts to affect the older, so there's no one excluded. Okay, so I do want you to take a look at yourself and see where you're at. Sexual addiction. We hear all the time about pornography, but we mainly hear about the men. And pornography is a lie in the world. What's going on? It's harder for women to admit. So what they do is they put a mask on. And CR is going to help you take the mask off. Because God can't help you with that. It's got to be real. Like Sarah said, it's so important in our CR is confidentiality. Nothing that is said inside will be said outside. And that's position to make sure that happens. So we want you to be yourself. We want you to feel like you can be honest, because it's the truth that sets you free. It will be a place where truth is the forefront, where the truth is found among others like yourself that struggle with addiction and who know you intimately. The CR fellowship is a commitment sober for forever. That's our goal. But even we have a better goal. When you get sober, guess what? I'm going to ask you to help others. It never stops. We give and we give. Serve each other like them. Like I said, it will be a group that provides a healthy and safe environment. We want you to feel safe. What I want to say is sometimes... you know, sometimes we're there and we don't know we're there. But, you know, people who are close to you may know. You know, don't be scared. If you really love your sister, don't be scared. You know, if you see that, you help them get there.
Well, in closing, what I want to do is give B's number, my number, take it down. B's number is 678-472-6895. And my number is 770-875-2595. And I want to prepare the congregation, so there will be people who have to be children, be sponsors, or you may want to be sponsors. And we are planning to give a class. So what you understand. We're also planning to give a class to family. It affects the whole family. And, like I said, we want to be one. Thank you so much.
But anyway, I wanted to Alan's been reading this book about sticky things and crops and all that sort of stuff. So this is the first thing. Most of you in the front row can probably see this. What is this? A flower? Well, it's not really a flower. But it has the potential of a flower. And I guess it opens. This is what it really should look like. But just think about this. This is kind of visible qualities. So anyway, God's kingdom, you know, in many ways it is invisible. So Sheila, 1 John 4:12. Romans 1:20. Nobody's ever seen God. We can see God if we love one another. And God's invisible qualities are clearly seen. I was thinking about what drew me to God in the first place. Was nature. It's love animals, love flowers, things like that. And every year I just can't wait until I get my garden. Start popping up. It's just really amazing to see what God does in this world. To me, it's just another proof that God is alive and well to work with us. I was thinking about just looking at a thunderstorm or stars at night. Or just other things like that, the snow, the miracle of the baby being born, all these things, we don't know how happens. God makes them happen. But, you know, we need to see God work. I'm going to read some. All right, Ephesians 4, 11. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. This is where I've been thinking. It's at least a year or two. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up, until we all reach unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Happiness within. Instead, speaking the truth in love, all things grow up in Him who is the head, that is Christ. In Him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's the key. You know, we have elders, we have evangelists, we have teachers. We may not have apostles leading with us, but we have apostles teachings. You know, we have these things, and we need those to grow up, to mature in Christ. But we're going to grow up in Him as we can. You know, we need to each part of the church needs to do its work. So, anyway, I was thinking about it. Yeah, I had a question. Those of you who are here, do you want your 2 or 3 year old to stay a 2 or 3 year old? No, so good idea of Sam. No. Yeah, and I'm sure some of you feel that way about your preteens and your teens. Hopefully, not your adult children. But you want your kids to grow up. We all want our kids to grow up. As a grandparent, we want our kids to grow up. And God feels the same way about us. Look again in verses 14 through 16 again. You will no longer be infants, apostles, and back and forth. Apostles are out. We'll grow up in Christ. Again, the whole body working together in each part. Now I'm gonna ask another question. Have you been doing your part? A lot of you can say yes. Well, I've been doing my part so much, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And then there may be others of you that are not doing anything. And we're gonna kind of bridge the gap tonight. Hopefully, those who've been doing too much, I know, are getting too tired. And I know I'm getting older. I can't do what I used to do. Really, I know that. A lot of And there are some of you that are younger that can, you know, jump in there and do things. You have a lot more energy than older. Anyway, so who do we need to serve? Let's answer this question. Galatians 6, 9, 10. So don't get tired, those of y'all who are working. A lot of things are. Just do what you can do. Hopefully, no, I can't do so much. Our goal is not to be as potential of a flower. It's hopefully not my flower. But it's to be a real blooming flower, not the invisible potential. Now, here's another one I brought. This is an old, burned-out flower. We don't want to be like this either. We want to be the nice, pretty flower. Okay? All right. So now I'm going to read 1 Corinthians. This is one of my favorite passages on the body of Christ and how we all work together. many, many, many years ago as a college student, I think it was a college student, I was in the Florida Evangelism Center. One of the preachers, old preachers, was talking about this. And it had us rolling in the aisle. There's a lot of prayers. Anyway, here we go. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We are all given one Spirit to drink. And the body is not made up of one part, but of many. That should say, man, the body. Or it may not be, for that reason, cease to be a part. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Isn't that funny? Doesn't it strike you as funny? It sure did me when I first heard it. You know, the whole body, eye, you know, kind of rolling down the aisle. No. We need to diversify here, right? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? That would even be worse. You can't roll with the nose. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts of one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that are lacking, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. One part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You are the body of the Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. This passage, I thought was an eye-opener for me as a young Christian. What the body should be like. Sarah emailed this reminded me of in their song, it's called Here is the There's a song. So when you hear that, think of this verse. And you know, I've written down each of us needs each other. You may not think we need each other, but we do. We need everyone in here needs each other. Whether you're an arm or a head, like maybe you know, Richard or I always, you know, but they're not the head. I mean, actually, Jesus is the head. But you know, the people that are leaders. Maybe don't put them up on an elevator there because just every part of the body, again, is indispensable. And the little parts, you know, think about when I first heard this, I guess I thought I was a little toe, a little nail, you know, or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, whatever you think you are, what part of the body, you're important. You know, if I slam my toe in the door, you know how it feels. You hurt one little part of anyway, I did want to put some little personal stuff in here because a lot of you know that my body's small in pieces. maybe things can be more of but anyway, as you know, my right hand, I have four fingers in about 5 or 6 months. And so, as, you know, I need help with jars, clean glass, middle school. Gets me open the door. So, you know, a little frustrating things like that. But, you know, I'm not going to amputate my hand. You know, I'm still a part of my life. I've got life in it. I've still got potential. And I think it is this week I'm actually getting a little bit of potential. Yeah, that's good. We'll take anything right now. But anyway, you know, as long as things are working, alive, the other thing I think is my left hand is swelling. Am I sitting in my
but you know, there's a message in the circle of laws, and she had a whole life that's not been done. That's what happens, you know. That's okay, I'm going to let her know. So, anyway, and they both work together, and, you know, I think it's been good for me. So anyway, going back to serving, this all has to do with serving. I have a question. Why do you want to serve? If you don't know why you should serve, why did I want to serve? Well, when I was first studying the Bible, I think what impacted me the most was the cross. You know, up until that time, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm a little familiar with the Bible. When I got to the cross study, I was like, wow, I knew Jesus died on the cross for me, but, you know, it just really hit me. If you haven't been in a study in a long time, beg somebody to get you in. You know, it's not that hard to get it. Just ask somebody, if you have a study, can I be in it? Just sit in on it. Or better yet, bring somebody to church and, you know, get a study going, and then everybody will start coming to you guys. Help them find a relationship. You know, there's nothing better other than help bring your own children. Or you can use a meal for somebody who had a baby. Or if someone has lost their loved one, helps involved in receiving. Or if someone just needs a break, they're worn out. Help them out too. You could help feed the homeless. I know y'all. Somebody else has been sending out emails about toiletries. Very good news. I'm not even sure who that goes to. Got involved in that one. But most of these, I was thinking, most of these I'm mentioning, I have been involved with in one way or the other all my Christian life, except for I know I haven't been to CR.
other than that, everyone is at least one. Have someone enter your home. Practice hospitality. Here's a real good question. Ask your family group leader what you can do to help. I know these guys are some of the most serving people. And they know what the needs are. I was thinking, you know, don't be overwhelmed. Start small. When I was a college student in the dorm room, I guess the first time I had anybody over, had a meal for them, I had a can of chunky beef soup, and I invited the sister to study the Bible with me. So I really started small. I know I can cook better than that. I know y'all can cook better than that. Yeah, it works. Then I started today writing more, and it helped with the food pantry. You know, those little sticky notes that come around or go up to the scary, or I don't know if the girls can help them out. But, you know, just pick up one of the sticky notes. Don't forget, you know, get the food you say you're going to get and bring it back. Put it in the little basket that's out there. Or even better than that, they always need food. I know there is a couple in the church. I was thinking, go visit somebody that's in the hospital or in the nursing home. That's great. Give your contribution. I don't know why I didn't think about that. You know, mission, if you haven't given to the mission contribution, it's still open. Buy something for the campus students that are out there, you know, selling cakes or whatever, or things they're making, so that they can go to San Antonio or whatever they need. It's, you know, they try to, or they have their babysit, or have to do a lot of things. So I hope, you know, you're making something that you can do. Now, if you're on the other side of this, no one's ever fixed the meal for me. Nobody's ever come visited me. You know, well, that's not the attitude of Jesus, right? What you need to be thinking is, how can I serve someone else? Yeah, I was thinking about my mom. And to me, she is one of the best servants. Maybe that's where I learned a lot of this from. You know, right now, she's in hospice care at her home. She's not able to get out. But I was thinking, when I was a little kid, she'd usually take me to visit the shut-ins. I think it taught me, you know, to go visit. And that just means a lot. And now people are coming in and visiting her, taking care of her needs. It was just incredible. But she's still thinking about other people's needs. She had, once a month, she has over her house. My husband comes up, and his mother and his sister drive by, and a bunch of people. So, you know, she still is continuing to serve to this day. My daughter was just up here this week, and we were too. And she said she was so convicted amazed by all the neighbors and to them out of us. She said, I need to know somebody. Okay, and then the other side of the coin is sometimes you really do need help, and you don't want to be a burden, but you do need to speak up. I know my mom's like that. She doesn't want to be a burden. It's really hard for somebody to get help. I'm that way too. And I don't like. I'd much rather be on the serving end. Okay, but I really do appreciate this. But anyway, it does take the ability to speak up and say what you need. You know, one thing you can speak up for is for prayers. And everybody that's something, even if you don't feel like physically you can do much, you can pray. We talk about that in the strength. But anyway, one thing I suggest is have a prayer list. I know I do in the back of my notebook. But just write down, what can I pray for? That's something I like to do. So everybody in the whole church was doing it. Just think of it. And sometimes it's not easy to serve. We'll talk about that too. It's not easy to deny yourself. That's what it takes. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's needed. Just be outward focused and pray about it. Get some advice if you feel like serving is impossible. Again, I challenge you, you can pray. You can at least be praying for people. That is the most powerful. So anyway, flower again, what kind of flower do you want to be? You want to be that one? This all shriveled up? Or the one that's just a few examples of things that really have gone well in the church. International Summit. Bridget and her committee, I don't know what they did. They put their magic on it again, and this one does. I've never seen, you know, so organized, you know, the cleanup. You know, everybody, I think, brought a big pan, which was good. Maybe more. Maybe that's what we did. Maybe we were all bringing two. And family group leaders and their wives were making sure that the food was there. Some people were out of town, and that for sure, Nancy Berry made one of the big cakes and brought it. They were out of town. Some people, I know Roxanne was one, probably lots of others, that were serving the kids to make sure they didn't get too much so that we didn't run out of food. So that was really good. Mother's Day. I was so amazed. I saw the email almost after. Donna Lynn, Tracy Reynolds, and Karen Schultz just took it upon themselves to get together some baskets for some moms, just out of the goodness of their hearts. I thought that was so wonderful. Again, feed the homeless, and talk to the Emmets, talk to the Jews. There are so many things that you can do. New mothers, having babies. We talked about funerals, just all the work that goes into that. Just you can help. Family group leaders, just talk to your family group leader and ask what you can do. Have a few other scriptures. Richard is back at your scripture several times. I'm just going to read the scriptures, write them down. I'm not going to let them sit. I'm sorry, sisters, we're going to read them. But write down Matthew 10:42. And just give a cup of water to somebody. That's, you know, that's what Jesus wants us to do. Matthew 12:46-50. Luke 6:27-36. Do unto others as you have done unto them. About which you would. Acts 20:35. It's Jesus said. It's Paul who says this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So I challenge you, try it. I know for me it's very, extremely fulfilling to serve somebody. The world has figured this out. These people that are out there volunteering, they don't even know God, but they know how much it builds them up to give to other people. Then Luke 17:7-10, we are only unworthy servants. And then John 14:12, I just thought this was so good, one where Jesus says, we will do greater things. You know, I think that's so significant. You know, you think Jesus did an awful lot, but you think about, you know, that this is Jesus, one flower blooming. Think about my whole gardenia bush. It's full of these. And that's what, in the church, if everybody is serving God, everybody is blooming at the same time, it is just full of blooms. So, you don't want to be this kind of blooms. I was thinking about also My Little Spring. Think about the Aesop's fable about a lion and a mouse. And you know, lions were attacking. The mouse was the one who was the hero that ate through the little throat. And, you know, like a small, insignificant animal could be a big help. And that's why I was thinking about the women of strength. You know, here we are with these women that, you know, don't have a lot of strength, but they can be prayer warriors for God. And so if you want your prayers to be on a good prayer list where somebody's going to be praying, see Elaine or Kathy or Brenda or Sue or Ken or Myrna or Yule or Irma or Carol or get on, or Deb Shanks, get on their prayer list. Probably left some other people. But every one of us needs to have an ongoing prayer list. Get on each other's list. Take advantage of the fact that God listens to us each and every one of us. And pray with each other. Use telephones. Use whatever you have to pray. I'm just going to mention this. In my quiet time today, I was reading Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. You know, and the Hebrew writer was talking to the Hebrew Christians. So I thought this was really good. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your word, the love that you have shown him as you have helped his people. We want each of you to show the same diligence and bearing in order to make your ministry. We do not want you to be lazy, but to imitate those who do through faith and patience hear it. So this is part of, you know, inheriting heaven. You know, this being a servant here on earth, being God's hands. So I hope that you will think of what you can do to serve in God's church. His kingdom is invisible, empire. The world can't see God, right? Any more than we can see, you know, what makes this flower, not work, live. But they can see Christ working in us. We can give God the glory. We're never more like Jesus than when we're serving, giving of ourselves, denying ourselves to others. So, what I want to say is happy serving, be the flower.